Lord, thank you for a beautiful place to come and hear your word be preached. Just thank you for the Bible and the guidance it gives us for our life. You didn't leave us here blind just to try and figure things out, but you gave us instructions. I pray now as we look into your word that what it has to say will impact our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, we heard about a man and his God. Today we're going to talk about a man and his home. This afternoon, and I'm going to try and do a couple different things, try and keep us from falling asleep, so hopefully we can work. If you have a question or a comment at any time, raise your hand and I'll ignore you. Okay. I mean, I'll call on you. All right. You guys are listening, so that's a good thing. Okay, well, I thought about this, and what I would talk about, what I would say, what direction, and there's gazillions of things out there to talk about when it comes to a man and his home. And one of the things that, as a church over in Perth, last year we kind of took a year and focused on men. And it was a good thing, you know, Matt, we had a few Bible studies start up, we just started another one, and men's ministries, father-daughter campouts have started up over the last few years. So the idea, I think it was yesterday, maybe somebody was praying that the men would, or maybe they said it, that the men would stand up and let the ladies sit down, and the men would be the leaders in the church, not the ladies. And that's so key and so vital in church, but it starts at home. And then I went a little deeper into, okay, at home, and I got thinking about how I grew up. I went to a Christian school. I went to Faith Bible, where Mark Kelly is. I went to their school. They have these things called goal cards in your office, right? And you got to fill out every night before you go home, you fill out what you got to do for the next day, and if you don't do that, you get in trouble, right? So it ingrains in you a natural thought that I need to set some goals. So whether you're not, I'm not a super organized person, but I like to set goals. So in regards to a man and his home, I believe it is a good thing to have goals. A missionary of ours once said, if you aim at nothing, you're bound to hit it every time. You know, and then I like to say goals are made not to be met. Right? I mean, how many times have you made a goal and you fell short and you didn't quite make it? But I think that when it comes to our home, there are very obtainable goals that we see in Scripture. And again, I'm just going to list off three goals this afternoon. But as I said, this is not all-inclusive, these three steps, and you'll have a perfect home. I think if you apply God's principles in His Word, it's going to impact your home in a great way. So let's just turn over first to Galatians chapter 5. All right, so you guys all have your Bibles in here. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. What is this that I'm going to read here? Fruit of the Spirit. All right, turn your Bibles over. I don't want you to look at them. Okay, so, all right, list off the fruit of the Spirit. Go ahead. Okay, love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, somebody said self-control or temperance. Did anybody say goodness yet? Goodness. Ooh, did somebody say faith? Faithfulness? Okay, excellent. I think we got them all. All right, so now flip your Bibles back over. Now that you guys have shown you know what's in these verses, would somebody read them aloud, please? Go ahead.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against that, there is no law.
All right, well, what I would like to propose here is that as a man in his home, that we would not only be displaying the fruit of the Spirit, but also developing the fruit of the Spirit. I wrote down displaying and developing a Spirit-led heart. When it comes to fruit of the Spirit, it's a heart issue. It's a submission issue. Now let's turn over one other one. Is 1 Peter 5:6. And why don't we have somebody read that one for us?
Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time.
Okay, humble yourself. If you read Charlotte's Web, you know what humble means. It means low to the ground. Wilbur, the pig, pigs are low to the ground. So he was humble. That's how, right? So to humble yourself under the what? The mighty hand of God. Goes back to what we heard earlier. Right? The beginning of everything is the fear. Proverbs 1:7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Everything starts out with that fear. Under the mighty hand of God. Understanding who God is. Last night I wrote down on my paper, I don't know, I might murder, but Mike Calhoun said, we are so focused on what Jesus did, we miss out on who Jesus is. And so, I guess what I'm getting at is when you're talking about displaying a Spirit-led heart in your home, making that goal, it's one thing to think about it, it's one thing to make it a goal, but how do you actually submit? How do you go about that? Those are some big actions. Some big words. It takes integrity or character, you might call that. I use the word heart because the Bible speaks about your heart and my heart. What does it say about our hearts? Yeah. Deceitful, wicked. In Genesis, it says that our desires are wicked right from our youth. It's the evil imaginations in our heart. Right, Jeremiah 17:9 is what you're quoting. That's one of my favorite verses. I love it. It's the anti-Disney film. You know, Disney's like, follow your heart. You know, listen to what's good. You know, I can't tell you how much that has permeated. You men know this into our church. Now you have to do what you think is right. No, you don't. Because when I follow what I do, what I think is right, it leads me down. I need a Spirit-led heart, which takes submission, which takes saying, I'm not the boss. Here's my piece of fruit. I need a couple volunteers. So let's see. Braden and Dylan, come on. All right. So, Braden, you're going to sit in that second chair. Okay. Okay. So, no, you're standing. And when I say go, I want you to come up and pick up the orange. Don't you dare let him get that orange, okay? Or we're all going to make fun of you. Okay. Get in front of it because I don't want him to touch the orange. All right. You ready? You got five. I'll give you some time. No, you can touch him. But okay. I'm going to stand over here. Okay, you ready? Let's give them a countdown. You ready, guys? 3, 2, 1, go!
Okay.
All right, put them down. All right, Mickey, come here. See, no, you two stay right there.
No, it's like 2v1.
All right. Okay. All right, I want you to go with him. You're going to help him get the orange. Okay? So, all right, you ready? Let's do the countdown. Braden's getting orange. Yep, Mickey's his help. You ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. Uh-oh. All right, he got it. All right. All right. Here he Here you go. It says cuties are for kids. We're all kids, right? We all ate those things. I love those things. Okay, so here's just a simple thing. The fruit of the Spirit is unattainable on our own. You read through Galatians, Ephesians, you're going to find out God says walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? The Holy Spirit's with us. He indwells us. God is what makes it possible to display the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit, God, He is waiting for you to submit to His control. Now, we all like to... I don't know about you. I like to say, don't tell me what to do. Right? I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm a sinner, right? Just like everybody. When somebody tells me, don't dive in the pool, what's the first thing I want to do? You know, I can remember we were making fun of some things when I was a kid. They had Sharon Springs as a public pool. It says no diving. You know, my brothers and I, we didn't feel like the day was complete unless we left diving and getting kicked out, right? Because don't tell me what to do. That is sometimes what happens when we get convicted about some things in our lives. And, you know, when you go to church your whole life, I was born on a Thursday, and I'm pretty sure I was in church on Sunday or the very following Sunday. I was the kid that got the sticker for perfect attendance. And you can just kind of get into the motion. And man, as you go to church and sit in the pew, it becomes a motion. And you know, you just do these things because we've always done them. And pretty soon, this whole idea of submitting and producing fruit is just I do this because it's the right thing to do, and I'm just kind of coasting through. God didn't save you to allow you to coast. He wants to challenge you to grow each day and to step, and that takes submission, humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God to do something that might take a little bit of a risk, to step out and say, I need to do something. But if you're like Braden against Dylan, if you try to do it on your own, you're going to end up displaying what Galatians 5:21 and a few verses before that. Let's turn back over there. Back over to Galatians chapter 5. Works of the flesh, 19 says, works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit goes on. When we allow our flesh to take control, we become deceived. We read Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked above all things. When we humble ourselves, the things that distract us, that deceive us, the deceptions that are out there, we're able to see them. The foolish part is when we see the deceptions in our lives that the world and our flesh puts in front of us, and we still go and do it, even though we know it's wrong. And I guess this is where I want some interaction. What are deceptions in this room that distract us from displaying and developing a spirit-led or submitted spirit in our home? What are things that distract you guys from walking in the Spirit? Yeah. TV. Who here does not have a TV? One guy. Okay, all right. Who here does not have cable or dish or something like that? Okay, we're getting there. That's great. Is TV sin? Some of the things they play on there, all right. But no, in general, no. It's a piece of plastic and glass, and some of them have liquid in them. And it's just materials, you know, that make colors. Yeah, same thing. Distraction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who here has? You know, my wife says, "Put your girlfriend down." You know, because it, you know, it's. You know, I'd be lost without my phone, I think, sometimes, literally, because it's like GPS. But there are so many distractions out there, whether it's your hobby, whether it's your phone. And these are distractions. Is that what Galatians 5, 19 and 20 was talking about? Little distractions? No, they're talking about some hardcore sins, right? And my hope would be that no one here is enslaved into these hardcore sin categories, but I'd be foolish if I thought everyone in this room was not caught up in some sort of something that would fall under this list. I guess where I'm going with this is deception can happen to anybody. And your guard has to be up at all times. A daily walk with God. We learned about that this morning. We're going to learn more about that in a little bit. But daily submitting. When I get up in the morning, I need to daily say, before my feet hit the ground, Lord, I'm yours today. I give this day to you. You know, you don't have to word it that way, but your heart is what I'm talking about. Every day getting up. Because if you don't submit to the Holy Spirit, you don't give your life over to that under that mighty hand of God, you're gonna cave. Your heart's weak. It's gonna deceive you. I'm not telling you have to do your quiet time first thing off in the morning, but I do think and believe this very strongly. One of the first things you ought to do is put Scripture into your mind. So wherever you go, like for me personally, I have my phone right by my bed. It's my alarm clock. I wake up in the morning and I read verse of the day. It's a simple app. Get a verse of the day. Boom. Sometimes halfway through the day, I'll forget what the verse was and I have to look at it again. Read it again. But that's the first one. I can't say I do it every day, but that's my goal, is to do it every day. Because why? I want to display and develop in my home. Something else that I have a question is, how much is Scripture a part of your home? When was the last time you memorized a passage as a home? A part of submitting and having the fruit of the Spirit is putting God's Word in. And if it never goes in, it's never going to come out. You know, it's like fuel for the fire. You know, the Bible is the fuel for the Holy Spirit to work. If you're never putting it in. So part of submission is an attitude adjustment, but there are some definite real practical steps that you can take. And here's the interesting thing. We all have different bents towards sin. You might have and list it out. You know what your struggle is, and a lot of times you'll conquer this sin and this struggle, and a new one will come up. So when it comes to displaying the fruit of the Spirit and developing it in your home, you got to be proactive. So what you got your notes there in front of you? Find a blank spot. Okay. I'm gonna give you 2 minutes here. Okay, what's one area that maybe you're allowing your heart or the world around you to deceive you in your home life that's not, you're not displaying the fruit of the Spirit in that area in your home? Write it down on there, and then underneath, this might take 2 minutes and write down just a couple ideas to maybe combat it. Okay, so let's say, just for an example, okay, let's say that you are struggling with anger and you have been yelling at your family, yelling at your wife, yelling at your kids, whatever, because you're frustrated and you're angry, okay? whatever's causing that anger, doesn't matter. And, you know, when you're angry and you act out based on your anger in an ungodly manner, it's sin. So it needs to be dealt with. What is a way that you can, instead of anger, what's one of the fruit of the spirits that you need to show instead of anger? I read the list there. Patience, gentleness. Yeah. Right? Self-control. Pick one of them, but how are you going to develop that? Here's my example. Look up verses and memorize them. One of the best ways to defeat sin, to defeat temptation, is to follow Jesus Christ's example. When Satan tempted him, how did he defeat it? With God's word. He quoted scripture. So take 2 minutes, fill one out. Okay, we'll turn back to our Bibles. Romans chapter 6, verse 22 for our second goal. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. We have someone who would like to read that, please. When you get there, we'll... When you find it, just go ahead and read that out loud for us. Romans 6, 22. Right? You have been set free from sin. You're a slave to sin. You're set free because of your salvation, and you've become a slave or a servant to God. And because of this, the fruit, the results you get from this setting free leads to holiness or sanctification. A life that is set apart to be lived out for God, and in the end, it's eternal life. I guess what I'm getting as my second goal for a home would be, now that I'm a Christian, whether you just became one or you've been one your whole life, as a Christian, I'm set free to live out wisdom. And we'll get into that in a second. So my second goal would be living and giving wisdom. Living and giving wisdom. And a lot of this refers to, I have young kids, a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And I want to impart to them God's principles. And so I say living and giving wisdom. I like to break down wisdom to start out with. I like to start out with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. So just get our definitions clear. Knowledge is just raw data. Just information. Okay, so knowledge is data. Raw data. No perspective, it's just 2 plus 2 is 5. Oh, okay. Knowledge is simple, right? No bent on. Then you have understanding. Understanding is always a little more difficult for me to explain. I just like understanding is perspective. So what are the goggles you're reading? So when you read Scripture, what is the understanding? What's the perspective you're getting from Scripture? We all have a background, a worldview, so to speak, of when we look at the Bible, we interpret it as fundamental Bible-believing churches. We are, you know, and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's understanding, is your perspective. Wisdom is the last one in that line. After you read Scripture, you begin to understand it. From your perspective, you grasp what the Lord is saying. Wisdom is knowing what is right and then doing what is right. When you ask young people, you say, well, what does it mean when a person's wise? Oh, they're real smart. Right? That's not even the half of it. That's only a third of it. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom, right? And so I like that story, the wise man and the foolish man. Right? The foolish man knew building on sand was going to end up in bad results, but he did it anyways. He knew what was right, did what was wrong. That's foolishness. Right? The wise man knew what was right and did what was right. So you and I need to live out wisdom in our home. And then we need to give wisdom to our children, to our wives, to our family. Say, okay, that's pretty simple. I got that. Okay, so God says to respect rules, laws put upon us, right? There's one that gets me a lot. Right? My kids are in the car. My son is 9. He looks up and he goes, Dad, you're going like 80. Oh, you know? That white sign says speed limit 55. Why are you going 80? Right? I know what's right. There's double. Not only is there natural consequences for going 80, it's also illegal, right? So now, did I just live out wisdom to my son? I just picked out a nice, simple one that I'm sure nobody else here would ever struggle with that. Doesn't matter if the roads don't have. I try to tell my kids the stop signs that have the white circle around them. They just mean it's a suggestion. They figured that. They figured that out real quick. So that's something that God's trying to challenge on me. Sometimes I do okay. Other times I fail and have to go to Him. But that's one area of my life. What other areas do we? Wow, I know what's right, and yet I don't. Or when it's just our family and somebody at church did something and maybe we say some things about them that we shouldn't because we feel a little safe in our family. And we speak gossip about them. Because, well, we're a family. You know, our children know that, you know, Henry and I got in an argument, and my son knows that Henry and I got in an argument because I'm speaking bad about Henry to my wife, and they overhear it. And then years go by and I never make it right with Henry. What am I teaching my son? Am I teaching him I know what's right? He knows I know what's right. Because I tell him, hey, you need to say you're sorry to your sister. God wants you to forgive and God wants you to get along. Yeah, I can't even go to Henry, I messed up. I'm sorry. All this stuff happens in church. And yet our children see it firsthand. I know I grew up in church. Many of you might have grown up in church. Living out wisdom as a man is so powerful. Some of the most impactive moments for me growing up is seeing my dad do the right thing in a very tough situation. And the other impactive moments were when he did the wrong thing, coming and apologizing. And saying, you know, I messed up, I'm sorry. And being humble enough to do that. But so as a man in your home, are you living out wisdom and giving out wisdom? All right, I need two more volunteers. So this can be any two people. All right, I'm going to take Charles here. And Wyman, come on up here. Okay. Oh, Wyatt, sorry. I don't know. One of you guys is Charles. Is that your younger brother? Okay. Come on up. That's right. My own mother calls me my brother's name, so. Come on up. Okay. Come on. Don't be afraid. You won't have to wrestle anybody, okay? I promise. All right. So, okay. Can I trust you?
Yes, you can
okay.
trust me.
All right. Turn around. I'm not going to hurt you, I promise. Okay? Okay. You go back there behind that last chair. Okay. Now, this is tough. Ready? Okay. Now, I need two men here first. Oh, he's in man training. Come on, two volunteers. All right, Bill. Anybody else? All right, Joe. Come on. All right, first guys. Come on. Thank you. All right, you guys stand off to the side here. Okay, we're gonna see if the men can beat the young men. Basketball last night, the young men didn't quite make it. The belt buckle crew held on. Okay, so you want to be on this end? You can go down that end, okay? All right, so Bill, come on over here. All right, so what I need you guys to do is I need you to give them the right directions to get down to the other end, okay? Now, here's the thing. I want you to close your eyes and don't open them, okay? All right. So Joe, you got to give him directions to get down there. We're gonna time how long. Now don't run him into chairs, okay, Joe? Okay. All right. So Bill, I'm just gonna move you over this way. One step. Okay. Ready? Get set. No, Joe, you can look this way. You got to tell. Okay. You ready? Time check. Dylan, you got a time check? Where did he go? He left. He's out of here. All right. Well, all right, I got a clock back there. Somebody keep time. Here we go. You ready? Get set. Go. Keep your eyes closed.
Or your right.
All right. Okay. All right. You do it with your eyes open, please. Go ahead. Give him directions. Go ahead. Walk. Give him directions. Straight. There you go. All right. So, what was the difference? One guy had his eye open. You guys can sit down. This worked out even better than I was hoping. Okay, have a seat. It wasn't really a time thing. What happened? Joe gave great directions, right? Even with his good directions, they had a little mishap. But I mean, he set it pretty much perfect. He couldn't have done it really any better. They still had a couple hiccups. This guy over here, he was a little soft-spoken, but he messed up. He meant left, but he said right. But with the eyes open, he was able to go around. When you, as a man in your home, say all the right words, the impact, it has some impact. But when you aren't living it out, it's like somebody trying to walk around in the dark and they're just hearing all these good words come at them. Do this, do that. Practice what you preach, right? Here's the other thing. As a as a man, do you sometimes feel like, man, I just can't get it right? I do it wrong all the time. Another thing being that I have 10 and 9 and 6-year-old, I feel like, man, I just can't, I'm going to mess these kids up. They're going to grow up and be wackos because of me. And I feel this pressure that I need to do something better. But in the end, if I'm pointing them to God's Word, even if I'm not always hitting 100%, you know, even if I'm messing up, as long as I'm pointing to God's Word as the authority, and I'm humbling myself, and I'm living out wisdom as much as I can, and putting that 100% effort into that, they're going to be walking with their eyes open. There was a pastor in the 70s at Perth, Chuck Shedd, goes, your walk, or your talk talks, and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And did you catch that one? Everybody, yeah. It's such a simple statement, but very true when it comes to wisdom. Knowing what is right and doing what is right. Proverbs 3, who knows Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Let's turn over there. Who can quote it? All right. Do you guys know up through verse 10? All right, good. Let's turn over there. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 is trust in the Lord. In all your ways acknowledge Him, right? And He'll direct your paths. Verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Wisdom. Living it and giving it is a goal. It's not a one-time, yep, I showed my son what it means to be wise. It's a daily battle, just like submission. It's a daily grind. I'm going to make it happen. Something that I got to keep right on the forefront. And as you read those verses through Proverbs 3, 5 through 10, everything I'm doing is pointing towards the Lord. Right? I accidentally hit the wrong button there. Be not wise in my own eyes. Don't be worldly wise. Be biblically wise. Be in the Word, right? Depart from evil. Fear the Lord. Honor the Lord. Everything we do is all about God. Are we giving that to our homes? And not just by our talk, but by our walk. But our talk is important. Don't minimize the impact of your words. Your words are very powerful. What you say at home, what you do at home, are very important. Okay, third goal. Prayer and propel. In a home, whether you have children or don't have children, your home can be a place of, can and should be a place of prayer. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9:36. This is a missions-minded passage, usually. I think I got the right passage. Maybe I wrote down the... Yeah, I did. Okay, I got it. Verses 36. That's right. I did write the wrong one down. Okay, here we go. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then He said unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. My parents, they had five of us boys running around terrorizing the earth. And I don't know, when I graduated, I was in college somewhere along the line, my parents shared with us that They have prayed since we were little two basic prayers. And one was they prayed that for us who our wives would be, that we would find a godly wife. The other one was that we would be totally committed to Christ. And it was one thing that they prayed about this, but it was an actual goal to, and I use the word propel because it's two P words, prayer and propel, right? But basically sending out, their prayer was, Lord, out of our home, we want to send forth laborers. We want to send forth workers that do your work, right? So out of your home, whether you have children or not, what's going on out of your home? What is it, laboring for your home here on earth or laboring for your heavenly Father? What is your prayers? What's your prayer focused on? Proverbs 22:6. Who knows what that verse is? Yeah, okay. So what you guys know that one? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, will not depart from it. I mean, this is a verse that's used, overused, underused, whatever it is. It's in the Bible. It's God's Word. It's an important passage, important verse for us to learn because God put it in there. But when you think of propelling, when you think of sending out of your home, you have children, are you training them in the way they should go? Training is, I was talking to Dylan back there. He's a runner. He wants to run the mile in, I don't know, 4 minutes and something. He wants to get it down there real fast. Well, he goes, yeah, but I got to shave it off with training. I'll get better at it the more I train. God compares running and the Christian life all, you know, in the New Testament. That's Paul does that. And I know if we apply the same principles in our walk as you do in training to your child, the propelling option is going to be there. That proverb that if you train them, it will happen. If Dylan trains, it's not a guarantee that he's going to run that mile in that time that he wants. But if he trains, is he going to get faster? Yeah. If you train your child, you're giving hope that something's going to happen for the Lord. Even a child is known by his doing, it says in Proverbs. Everybody has that point in time when they have to choose the Lord themselves. But as a parent, as a man, it is your responsibility. I don't know how exactly it's going to go down, but sometimes I picture when we stand before God that as men, we have to answer for our home. You know? And we like to say, oh, our wives, we're a partnership in marriage, and we're side by side. Well, at that moment in time, your wife is not beside you. Your wife is behind you. And God's going to look at you, and you have to answer for what went on in your home. He's going to ask, where was the focus? Where was your goals? What was important? If I ask you, what was the most important goal for your children, those of you who have children, what would you write down on a piece of paper? I know for me personally, I don't necessarily care what my children do as long as they love the Lord. So when I wrote my goal down, my prayer, my goal is for my children is that they love the Lord with all their heart. Because what's the greatest commandment? That's it. Love God absolutely. So I figure if they got that one down, the rest of it all comes in line. But these are just three simple goals. And I was going to shoot, but I think we're going to break the thing. So we're not going to shoot the arrow. But let's just say, Mickey, when you shoot, who here bow hunts? Okay, we got it. All right, I don't bow hunt at all. Okay, the most I've ever shot a bow was this old man came to our school and showed us how to use an old recurve bow, you know, like Robin Hood. Right? So, but you pull back on that thing, you know, and you take aim, just like a gun, right? And then, boom, you fire or release. T- takes a second. You got to get yourself ready, knock the arrow, pull it back, aim, boom. Well, in training, a child, it's not always on our terms. I'm training our homes and working with, it's not always that perfect environment to pull up, and I got some time. It's kind of like hunting. You know, when the deer or the whatever bear, I wouldn't shoot a bear with a bow, but I know people that do. You know, when that animal pops up, you don't have, okay, let me get exactly, you're like, whoa, there's deer over there. You know, you're in a hurry. I would imagine, again, I don't hunt with a bow. I barely even hunt with a gun, and I'm pretty bad at that. So if you were to stand before God today, you had to answer for how you prayed and propelled your home to produce laborers, what would your answer be? You know, when you shot, I was going to have Mickey and Dylan go outside and shoot for us. Okay, let's go outside, guys, real quick, and we'll end with this. This is what I'm trying to get at. You guys can come out here on the deck and we'll finish, because we're all kind of getting stuff in here. Yep. Okay, remember what I said. You got to fire when I said. Don't knock it yet. Don't knock it. Put it down. This will wake you up a little bit. All right, they're going to be down on the steps.
Your mic's still on.
That's all right. Okay, Dylan, I'm going to give you instructions. I'm going to tell you to knock your arrow and fire. And fire when I tell you to, okay? All right, knock your arrow. Yep. Okay, fire. Okay, all right, Mickey. Wow, he got right into green. Good job, Dylan.
Knock. Challenge?
Yeah.
He can pull back the ball.
Hey, Mickey, you're going to be able to pull back the ball? It's not looking good. All right, knock your arrow. Remember, fire when I say, please. Okay, go ahead. Fire. Right now, come on, fire. What'd you wait for? Okay. It's in the white. He waited. He didn't fire when I told him to, but he did. Why did Dylan do better? He had time. He was ready. We all know that we are going to stand before God and answer at some point in time. We're not going to have time to say, wait, God, I need to get it all under aim and get ready. We're going to be right there. So when your goals, you got your goals written down there for your home, and you ought to make goals. Remember, you don't have your whole entire life. It could be tomorrow. So start today.